Good morning. The text we'll be learning from this morning is Matthew chapter 26, verse 50. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Fellow believers, the gym is getting emptier and emptier. And unfortunately, it's not just because of the nicer weather or that people have lost all the weight that they wanted to lose. No, people have started to give up on their New Year's resolutions. Depending on what sites you look at, you'll find that 65 to 92% of New Year's resolutions have already failed. Now, maybe they have a legitimate reason. Perhaps they got injured. But more than likely, they gave up because they lost their motivation, or they decided that the goal wasn't worth all the hard work and effort that they would have to put into it. A 92% failure rate is nothing to be proud of. Thankfully, we can be glad that our Savior does not share our sorry state of weak-willed commitment to a cause. That's why our theme for this morning is that Jesus never gives up on you, not even when you give up on Him, and not even when the going got tough. Those 92% of people who fail their New Year's resolutions, they don't plan on failing from the beginning. After all, what would be the point of the New Year's resolution then? Judas, too, when he first became a disciple of Jesus, didn't plan on falling away. But when his plan for Jesus to become an earthly king started to look less likely, he fell to the temptation of greed and the temptation to sell out his master to get back in the good graces of the other religious leaders. These are the reasons that Judas came that night: money and status. Jesus' question, "Friend, why have you come?" cut through all the lies that Judas had been living and forced Judas to take a really hard look at what he had done. How often can this same thing happen to us? We're much more comfortable with our sins and lies when no one accuses us and no one confronts us about them. But sometimes that confrontation and accusation can be exactly what we need for repentance. Christ's question to Judas was looking for repentance as well. It wasn't for an answer, no. Christ's question accused Judas, pointed out his sin, and pleaded for his return to Christ's forgiveness. Even though the deed had already been done, Judas had already betrayed the Savior, Jesus was still looking to bring Judas back into the fold. Jesus never gave up on Judas, not even when Judas had given up on him. Now what about you? Is your life going according to plan? Or are you being tempted to jump ship, just like Judas did? If you are, then listen to that question that Jesus asked Judas. Why have you come? Will your answer be to complain against God, as Isaiah warns against? Woe to him who strives with his maker. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, "What are you making?" Or shall your handiwork say, "He has no hands"? Will you skip your private Bible studies, quit hanging out with your Christian friends, and forsake going to church, all in some petty attempt to get back at God for not having your life go as you planned it? Or will your answer be that you come to learn God's plan for your lives and practice patience and godly wisdom when things don't go according to your plan? Either way, you can rest assured that Jesus will not base his care of you off of your attitude toward him, because Jesus never gives up on you, not even when you give up on him. Now, Jesus' temptation to quit and turn aside from God's plan was tremendous. He could have walked away from the suffering that he knew was coming, just like he once walked through a crowd that was trying to throw him off a cliff. But he didn't. So why didn't he? Christ didn't because he knew the plan. He willingly walked toward hell to save us all. He walked toward hell when he was betrayed by Judas and tempted to quit. In our text, Jesus calls Judas friend. But the word here isn't the typical word for friend that we find in the New Testament. The word, hetairos, is found only two other times in the New Testament. The first time is in a parable that Jesus told concerning a wedding feast. After all the guests had arrived at the wedding, the master notices that one of the guests was not wearing the customary wedding garments. And the master had provided all of the guests with these wedding garments. And the text goes on, "So he, the master, said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Clearly, the man in this parable is no friend of the master, and has instead taken advantage of the master's generosity until the master kicked him out. The second time Hartiris is used is in a parable that Jesus told concerning workers in a field. The master had hired workers periodically throughout the day, and ended up paying each of them a single day's wages, a denarius, whether they had worked the full day or just 2 hours at the very end of it. The workers who had worked the full day are upset that they weren't paid more, even though they'd agreed at the start of the day to work for one denarius. The text goes on, "But he, the master, replied to them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go.'" The workers who complain are not friends of the master, and are instead greedy for what they don't own and didn't earn. Just as the two men in these parables were trying to take advantage of their king and their master, so Judas is trying to take advantage of being a friend of Christ. Judas tried to take advantage by earning those 30 pieces of silver and getting back in the religious leader's good graces. Judas was no true friend of Christ. No, Judas was taking advantage of that friendship. What about us? Do we take advantage of our friendship with Christ? Do we look for all the benefits of being Christian, but shrug off the wonderful Christian duties when they're inconvenient? What if Jesus had considered the cross inconvenient? But Christ didn't consider the cross inconvenient. Christ saw the cross as necessary. That's why when we ask our Savior, "Why have you come?" his answer would be that he came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to be the friend who would give his life for us while we were still sinners. Christ came for you. Christ never gave up on his plan to save you, and Christ never gives up on his ongoing plan to keep you his. Those same websites that showed our dismal success rate of 8% on our New Year's resolutions give some pretty good tips on how you can join that 8%. If you can set specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound goals, then you might be able to join those 8% of people who actually succeed. But all the planning in the world cannot help us achieve our everlasting goal on our own. Only Christ is the one with a 100% success rate of his eternal plan, and only Christ is the one who cares and never gives up on those who have a 0% success rate on their own. Thank God that Jesus never gives up on you. Amen. We'll close today by singing hymn 402, verses 1 and 2.